It doesn't matter because my next guest, when he's on, it don't matter what you're doing next week. What matters is what's going on now every second of the day. I call him my good friend. He is the former host of the popular TV series Going Fishing. He published a magazine for years in this part of the world that was the Bible for all anglers. I say all anglers, young and old. The Ontario Fisherman magazine was the Bible. His name is Daryl Kronze. Good morning, Kronze.
I've been sitting here for 15 minutes.
Oh, shut up.
Social media is nice, eh?
Oh, you want to go right there, do you?
No, okay. I've seen enough of it lately.
Oh, my God. That's, you know, you're more familiar with that because you retired a number of years ago, and in your spare time, you did dabble in that world, you warned me on several occasions to stay away from it, and now I understand why.
Yeah, if they knew what they were talking about, you know, the replies and everything.
Here's what pisses me off.
I laugh and shake my head.
Daryl, here's what pisses me off, and you're better qualified to tell me if this is normal. These people, and I say these, and I don't want people to say, there you go, you said those people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the folks who spend a lot of time on the internet getting involved in various topics just for the sake of getting involved really do not read the story. They read the headline and that's it. What I notice in a lot of cases, they don't even need a headline. They just need to see what the rest of the school is doing. And if it's a feeding frenzy, they just jump in based on what the rest of the school is already doing. They pick it up midstream. And I'll give you an example of that, Daryl. So my story was about wanting to solicit the help of anglers to see if we can't get a petition going to postpone the opening of trout season because of my personal concerns with COVID-19 and the spread of that virus on opening day. That's the basis of the story. A lot of people jumped on there and said, you can't take away my fishing. Who are you to tell us not to go fishing? Who are you to take fishing away and cancel fishing for the year? That's crap, and you can't do that to us. So that was the bulk of it, right? The naysayers took that approach. But here's how absurd this whole thing is. I had one guy who wrote how fishingcanada.com should be closed. All they're doing is advocating fishing, fishing, fishing. They're trying to tell people that it's okay to fish during the pandemic. And my biggest fear is that people are going to go out and listen to them and fish, and they're going to kill somebody. So he didn't even read the story, and he went on the opposite of what the school was doing, right? Insane.
Well, listen, totally has Trump got a lot of followers? That pretty well tells you.
Yeah, no kidding. How are you doing, my friend? I haven't talked to you
good,
in ages.
Good, good. But let's stay on subject. You know, some people know what they're talking about there, and some people, like you say, you know, there's this little bandwagon. It's a scary thing, and, you know, we've got to excuse me. I saw your post. Remember when I talked to you last night? Yeah. And I'm going, okay, some people are going to read it the wrong way and not take right. the time to read. And it's social distancing. That's what it comes down to. The government didn't. I had a call last week from a very, very close person of mine. Hey, they're going to shut the province down tomorrow. And I said, is that right? You know, and no, the province isn't shut down. The courses are not shut down. Some townships have maybe shut them down. The marinas are shut down. For the most part, the ramps are shut down because they're a business and they don't want, you know, people rubbing shoulders together.
I'm
5 miles from the local boat ramps. The Kawartha's ramps in Trent and the Trent system are open. I was surprised. I went to Bridge North the other day because I'm putting my boat in, and it's open. But it's called, you know, social distancing. And I'm going to pee off a lot of the charter boaters. But you can't have 4 or 6 guys on a boat and stay with social distancing.
No, no.
Okay, absolutely. You can't go to some of the ramps. I'm saying some of the ramps without bumping shoulders. If I put my boat in, 3 guys are going to come up and say, hey, can I help you? You're an old fart.
Right.
It's impossible. There's situations where it's open. There's situations where it isn't open. And we can talk. We've shut down our trout egg taking.
I know.
We've got four guys in the pen, and we've got to pick eggs later, and we're going to be banging shoulders. You just can't do it.
And that's what I want to talk to you about. Daryl, can you be patient with me, my friend? I do have to take a quick break, and there's so much more I need to cover with you. Daryl Kranze on the line with us, former host of the popular TV series Going Fishing and Ontario Fisherman Magazine. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.
Good morning, everybody.
More about a guest you heard on the radio?
Maybe you're out fishing and missed an episode. Want to catch up? Well, now you can. Facebook.com/Fishin' Canada to learn more about your favorite outdoor shows, Fishin' Canada Television, and Outdoor Journal Radio. Search the archive and download hundreds of radio episodes.
Like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at ODJ Radio.
And, of course, listen live, the Outdoor Journal Radio Show. More than ever, your definitive guide to the great outdoors.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Angelo Viola, Stephen Labadie, and Derek Brandeo, the A-team. We're down to the three. Next will be two, and then there were none. We'll see. On the line with us, good friend of the program, good friend of mine. His name is Daryl Kranze, ever-popular host of the TV series Going Fishing, and a guy who's very familiar to pissing off a person or two. It is time, so I thought I'd have him on and see if I could get some fatherly advice from him, because he is pretty old, you know. stop coughing on the mic.
The Corona, the liquid one.
Yeah, don't say, don't even joke about that stuff.
He said it's a liquid one, so yeah, he's choking down a Corona.
So you've got a launch ramp open in your neck of the woods, and what's the traffic like there, Daryl?
You know, surprising, if you go over the Bridgemorris Causeway, it's usually busy. I haven't seen a boat in it yet, and I was surprised it was open, but like I've found five ramps within 5 miles of my house that are open here.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they're not all closed.
Right? No, they're not. It's up to the municipality right now, or if it's a provincial or a federal ramp.
Okay, now let's talk about steelhead and hatcheries and that business, because that's, you know, probably, aside from being the TV host that you were for a number of years and the publisher that you were for a number of years, where, you know, really that's, for the most part, that's what people know you as. I know you as somebody else. I know you as the tireless worker. I know you as the person who is giving of himself, his time, his resources, his everything to fish and fish stocks and rehabbing those fish stocks. You are, I'm not going to say single-handedly, because I know there's too many other people with you in those years on the Saugeen that played a significant role, but I'm going to say almost single-handedly are responsible for the greatest steelhead fishery on the planet, and that is the Saugeen. But there may be some trouble right now in that whole process of rearing, raising, and putting fish back into the environment. Talk to us about that, would you?
Well, right, we take our steelhead eggs from the wild, like we're collecting them at Denny's Dam, and it's, you know, it's working close with guys, so we can't get two guys in the trap to lift out, say, our transporting program, which the ministry, in their wisdom, canceled. But taking eggs, you know, we're two guys in the trap. They're too close. You've got to get three guys, you know, monitoring the fish, checking the fish, taking the eggs, taking the sperm. Then when we get these eggs back to the hatchery, we've got to fertilize them. And then when we fertilize them, we got to disinfect them. Then you wait a couple of weeks and you got to pick eggs. And if you've got, say, 100,000 eggs in that hatchery, you're picking probably 10,000 one at a time, and you're shoulder to shoulder. So the club decided on their own they were going to not take eggs this year, and there's that should be the case on all these. Michigan right now has, for the first time I think ever, quit collecting their wild steelhead eggs in the Manistee River and or at the Platte River. And it's the same thing. They're shoulder to shoulder. So they've canceled a whole year of steelhead taking, you know, and raising fish. It's gonna affect it a little bit in a couple of years. It's going to affect the Saugeen a little bit in a couple of years. But if we can work with around some of the idiocy that we're getting natural resources these days, we can also get around this for 1 year.
obviously, this this was a muchly deliberated decision. This would not have come easy. Like, you guys must have agonized over this, because I know how important each year is to the class of fish, right? Each year class.
Yeah, and I've sat back for the last couple of years since, you know, the blunders with the Own Sound office. But and I'm 70 years old right now, but it's a lot of work. But it was careful and the correct thought. You know what I mean? The guys raising salmon in the pens where the ministry delivers the salmon, and for imprinting on some of these places they use pens, they decided the same thing, and the ministry did too. But the problem with the ministry is the ministry has, I don't know how many fish they put in these pens, probably about 75,000 to 100,000. Now they've got those fish. Instead of delivering them to the pens, they had to be stocked in the wild. And I sure hope they put them way upriver and stocked them where they should have, instead of stocking them off breakwalls where they're not going to imprint or provide a fishery.
I thought you had got that straightened out.
I thought I got a lot of things straight, but, you know, things are turning around, though. I'm really impressed with their new head fish and wildlife supervisor for Ontario. His name's Dave Brown.
Yep.
And I've had a couple meetings, well, not a couple, and we've shared a few beers together. And he seems to be listening, and he's making changes, but changes come slowly.
I'm very impressed with today's M&R, I got to tell you. M&RF, I guess I should.
I wish they'd shut the Own Sound District office down, but besides that, maybe I'll get some agreement there one day.
Well, you're always going to grumble at something. You're a crotchety old man, for God's sakes.
Well, that's what happens when you know, I'm not getting enough on my old age pension.
Yeah, right. There'd be no tag days for you, buddy. Trust me on that one.
But it's social distancing. And that's the thing. And like the camps are going to take a wall up on this. The border's shut down. And our camps depend on American tourists, whether anybody likes that or not. And that's from British Columbia to the Quebec border. It's going to be a scary thing for the camps.
Are most anglers, in your opinion, now I'm going to get you on the spot here, are most anglers selfish?
No. I would say a percentage of them are. You know, it's some of them, like, they just don't know the facts. But the guys that are doing the bitching, for the most part, there's a lot of volunteers out there. The Saugeen's the best steelhead fishery, probably, well, in Canada. I don't care. There's not a stream in BC that can compare to the Saugeen. That's
absolutely
all volunteer supplied and Michigan strays swimming across. And the guys that do the bitching, for the most part, have never once done a lot of work, or any work, getting these programs established.
Yeah, I think you're being way too modest. The Saugeen is the best steelhead river on the planet, period.
You know, I honestly, if I said that, people would think I'm nuts, but it's true. No. I fish the West Coast, but it's a combination of a lot of hard work. There is no reproduction below Maple Hill Dam on the Saugeen. That's 60 miles upstream, and we've got that dam there. It's our hatchery fish that we're stocking, and it's also dependent on Michigan stocks. Anywhere from 300 to 400,000 yearlings a year in Lake Huron, the streams do not imprint them. They're too short. And for 50 years, we've been living off their strays coming across. But now with us hatching fish and the transporting program, you know, when we rear probably the best steelhead anywhere, we've got, I'd say, 35 to 50,000 steelhead a year running that river. Like, we aren't even seeing the fish being caught from what's in that river. Yeah, and it's a big river. There's lots of room for them to go up there and fish, you know, and it opens at the end. It's open right now, but below the abutments. But the whole river opens up in another 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
I wouldn't say that too quickly. I wouldn't say that too quickly. I read something recently where the municipality there, the whatever governing body there, is talking about closing most of it down.
Well, they might, you know, you can't say that they're not going to, because you never know what politicians are going to do. You know, I talked to our buddy, the cop, you know, I was listening to him just before I got on.
Bradley.
My buddy Brad. Yeah, no, he's a great guy, but he's right. Like, we're in small communities. I'm just outside Buckhorn. Mm-hmm. And we are used to the tourists and the cottagers in the summer. But not now. You know, the stores just were never stocked up the first place. We got small hospitals. We got the biggest epidemic in Bob Cajun at the nursing home probably in the country. Yeah. And everybody's fleeing Toronto. And I mean, there's people down in Toronto trying to rent places up here to get away from all this. It's not a funny thing. I've got CNN on right now. There's 4,200 or 42,000 people have died of this thing already.
Yeah.
And some people.
Do you think it's possible? I don't. I'm not going to hold you to this. I just want Daryl's opinion. Do you think it is possible for us to hold a traditional opening day of trout season in this part of the province without the risk of spreading this virus further?
Yes.
Perfect.
Most streams are not shoulder to shoulder. The Saugeen has a lot of anglers. If they stay the 6 or 10 feet apart, that's fine. The problem with some of them is the guys get on a float rod, they hit a 10-pound bow, and they run down the stream, you know, to land it. It's not a position fishing. You know, you're just not standing there fighting the fish. It can be done, but common sense has to be left to the fishermen. You know, I don't think you're going to see the number of anglers on the streams this year. That's for sure.
I don't think so either.
Because most of them practice, you know, common sense.
Yeah.
But there's stupid people out there. And there's going to be, I understand this, you're going to get four guys in a 12-footer for the opening of walleye, but it's common sense. Yeah. I'm 100 miles away from my grandkids. I talk to them twice a day on Skype or whatever you want to call it, just to drive them nuts. And they're in quarantine. My kid doesn't want them out of the house, and I don't blame them. But I've got to go to business in Owen Sound next week, and I'm going up. I'm going to have a care box, but I'm not going in their house. And, you know, I'm clear, but,
think about
but do you
that.
Really know? Our testing sucks.
Yeah.
You know, we're short on testing equipment to see whether you've got this thing. And, great, there could be 8 in 10 walking around with it, you know, or 1 in 10. But 1 in 10 or 1 in 100 that's got it doesn't know it. He spreads it.
Yeah. There was an interesting article, a little post during this mayhem this week. A gentleman pointed out, because people are saying, well, I'm okay, I'm good, I can go, I'm going to do it by myself, I'm going to go to the, going to find a boat ramp, I'm going to launch my boat by myself, I'm going to go out fishing for the day, and then I'm going to come back, I'm going to recover my boat, put it on the trailer, I'm not going to stop for coffee or snacks, I'm going to, no or gas, I'm going to go straight home, and I won't affect anybody. And somebody pointed out to him, that's really good and a great initiative for you to take. How about when you touch that boat cleat to tie your boat up? You know that this virus will sustain 72 hours of hard surfaces without dying. How about the person who was there before you, or worse than that, how about the person who's going in there next behind you?
It's
how's
a
that?
Scary. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see it, and I'm up front. I don't want to see it shut down, but it's got to be a lot of common sense, you know. I went into Costco the other, not Costco, that's a madhouse. I went into the grocery store the other day, and I had my bass mask on. Now, it doesn't stop anybody's bugs jumping through my mask, but it also prevents a lot of the bugs, if I've got something, from going out. And I got this bass mask on, and there's this old, an elderly lady, about 92, beside me. And she's got one of the drugstore masks on, and I've got this bass mask on. She said, what is that? And I said, well, it's for bass fishing, but it's my mask. And she's got this other one on. She says, please. I says, yeah. She said, I thought you were a bank robber. I says, yeah, Bonnie and Clyde. And she says, I'll be Clyde. Let's go hit a bank. You know, and there's some humor in this, but it's seeing more people aware. It's the people that flaunt this thing, and this is nothing to flaunt.
Mm-hmm. As I pointed out to people all week, this is not a game of closies. This is not lawn bowling.
Not at all. You know, and I understand the uproar, and I'm watching it in BC, you know, whether the fish are clipped or not clipped. And forget the clip fishing right now. It's a problem. But
exactly.
These lodges are going to be in big trouble, and the tackle industry better get their, I almost swore on you, but they better get their butts on the fire and understand this. And I see the bass guys. I saw the Johnny Morris push, you know, let's keep it open. Common sense is the word.
Yeah, common sense. My friend, I appreciate you coming on the program. Whenever you find time for us, you're always welcome here on Outdoor Journal Radio. You take care of yourself. I got to move on. You take care of yourself. And we will, I have a feeling this will be the summer you and I are going to share about finding.
Well, I got the doc there, and it's you're welcome anytime you want. But again, this cottage country thing is, they just can't invade this. And I'm not saying this because I live up here. We don't have the hospitals, the grocery stores, and they're not prepared for this.
Let's hope common sense prevails. Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it, man.
No problem, my friend.
You take care. Daryl Kranze, a former host of popular TV series Going Fishing and, of course, popular publisher of Ontario Fisherman Magazine, truly the Bible in this part of the world, if not the whole country. I know it was called Ontario Fisherman Magazine, but I saw that magazine everywhere. Everybody had it always at hand. And he was behind both those great initiatives and now retired. He said, told us he's 70 years old, still very active
in
the fishing community, but... when we come back, we will be joined by somebody who is in cottage country. Oh, before we go, though, let me just read a couple of these. Thank you for getting on the chat board and sending us some messages. Here's one that says, hello, Angela, great show. The Cityites are still coming up to cottage country like crazy. Enough is enough. Stay in the city. We don't have the support to deal with those ignorant people. Well, I don't know what we can call them, ignorant people, although you did when you said Cityites, I suppose. That kind of. Bottom line is, here's somebody who lives in the outlying areas asking, pleading with you, don't go up there. There's just no reason to do that right now. We're almost through this thing. I know that if we all hunker down for a couple of more weeks, the curve is going to start to flatten. We'll be able to breathe some fresh air. The sun will come up. And off we go. I'll read the rest of it when we come back. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.